This is our number
two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package. I got to switch chairs here. This one is tilted down.
In my, I feel like you're on a slide.
And my nylon sweatpants just have me perpetually sliding down.
You know what's funny is every day when Ron comes in after you leave,
yeah,
he switches the chairs. Like, you both hate each other's chairs.
Yeah.
Every day they're wrong.
Yeah, well, he's wrong and I'm right. So we got a world of news and a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. We might have a chance to fight back against the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America, because Tim Iman has announced that he got enough signatures to put an initiative on the ballot later this year that would, for the fourth time, give the people of this state the option to vote for $30 car tabs. And when you think about it, I mean, I know people who are paying $500, $600 a year for car tabs on an illegally calculated valuation of their vehicle. And they're using the roads no more than anybody else. And so, so many times back in, I want to say it was 2002, the voters said, yes, $30 car tabs. And then the court struck it down. And do you remember what Gary Locke and the Democrats who controlled the legislature did? They said, clearly, $30 tabs are the will of the people. And so, even though the court struck down the initiative, we as a legislative body will impose $30 tabs. And so that was a time, and this is why I liked people like Gary Locke, because he was somewhat responsive to the will of the people and not just to his party. And so he saw that people in this state wanted $30 tabs. He went to the legislature and he said, hey, let's do this through the legislative process and get $30 tabs. So they did. And then these sleaze bag, money grubbing transportation cultists, they said, no, let's jack the tabs up. 100, 200. Let's illegally calculate the value of the vehicle. So the people again voted and said $30 tabs. And again, a court struck it down because we have a Supreme Court that is just in the hip pocket of the labor unions and the Democrat Party. So now, once again, you're going to have a chance to say $30 tabs. And so that's going to be on the ballot. He got enough signatures. And Iman's going to join us right after 1:30 this afternoon to talk about the latest effort. And all it's going to do, it's going to take away 15% of Sound Transit's funding. These dogs are getting $54 billion in just Sound Transit 3. They're tens of billions over budget. They are 12 years behind schedule and counting. And they can easily absorb a little bit of a haircut and have the car tabs back down to $30. And, you know, if like me, you have kids, you know, my girls, they're in their 20s. They're in their first or second job out of college. They're not making a ton of dough. They drive very modest vehicles. And they get hit with $300 car tab bills. And it's just shameful what the criminally corrupt people at Sound Transit are willing to do to the working class of our state. So we'll talk with Iman about that coming up at 12:30, 1:30 this afternoon, right at the bottom of the hour. Meanwhile, Jenny Durkin She wants to move ahead with a massive $160 million tax to help remake the Seattle waterfront. She has just announced that she wants the people who own property around the waterfront to pay what is called a LID, a local improvement district. And they would tax them $160 million. And the theory is, well, they're going to benefit. They're going to get this nice park. And you know, the fact of the matter is everybody will benefit if it's a nice park. It'll probably not be a nice park. It'll probably be filled with heroin addicts and people sleeping everywhere. But here's the danger of this. And that's why everybody has to pay close attention, because this is unprecedented. And if you live near Lower Queen Anne, for example, and if they decide, well, when we rebuild the Seattle Center Coliseum, we want to do a promenade and we want to spend $100 million on that, they could have a local improvement district for just hitting you for thousands of dollars, saying, but it's to beautify your neighborhood. Like, how far do you live from that big reservoir? Isn't there a huge reservoir near your neighborhood?
Well, maybe not even a mile.
Yeah. And so there was some talk about they want to put a lid over that.
Yeah.
Although that
it's
just...
The water's back in there. For a while there, for a couple of years, it was empty.
Yeah, they drained it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, just when I was on break, they said, well, maybe it's dumb for us to drain this reservoir, because if the big one hits and water service is interrupted...
There was that recent report that said it could take like a month.
Yes, yeah. But one of the plans, and I don't know if you've been looped in because you're in the neighborhood there, but one of the plans is to build a lid over that reservoir.
It's in a beautiful location, very convenient, just off I-5.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and very pricey real estate if you were to build on it.
Yes.
And so they've been talking about putting condos around the perimeter, covering up the reservoir,
right,
making it...
It wouldn't be far from the light rail station.
Right.
It would be about 10 blocks.
So what they could do, if the Seattle waterfront plan comes into play, they could go to you, your family, and all of your neighbors and say, hey, we're going to put this new park in your neighborhood. You're going to have to write us a lump sum check of $5,000 as your share for this park. And this is the new tax scam that...
I don't think they're going to... I think the way they said it yesterday was, the mayor said yesterday, isn't it like $7 a month for the next 20 years?
Is that what she said?
I believe. Something to that effect.
I hadn't heard that. So, okay, so... If that's the case, would that be $84 a year times 20 years, $1,600. Okay, yeah. So $1,680. And no way would it be that little. But that's the scam they're trying to pull, is they want to go neighborhood to neighborhood and tax people in these local improvement districts.
Yeah, and which, you know, obviously if that were in my neighborhood or any other neighborhood, clearly... You know, you feel already like you're overtaxed. However, I do want to ask, because she did say something yesterday, and I was thinking about it, which was that she said that this would be like the equivalent of the Space Needle going up. Like this, you know, having this project and this transformation on the waterfront would be like the equivalent of, you know, how big it was for Seattle to get the Space Needle.
Okay.
Are we willing to spend for something like that where it's like...
Well, here's the problem is I know people. There's one of the older, not older, but one of the condo projects that was built down there back in the 80s, I want to say.
On the waterfront?
On the waterfront. Harbor Steps.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it was before real estate went crazy. And there are people who bought in there at a price they could afford. You know, they maybe 150, 200,000, way back when.
That was
way back when. But that's what they were buying for. Now they're retired. They're on a fixed income. And Jenny Durkin wants them to have to write a check, a lump sum of $5,000 based on the current valuation.
There needs to be some way to address people like you've just described. And I mean, that feels like to be completely priced out of something that you've, you know, where you've been living.
It's forever. Very difficult given our state constitution, because in California, they had property tax rebellion and it said you are locked in at your purchase price. Mm-hmm. So if you bought a house 30 years ago and, you know, that's the sales tax price or the property tax price that made sense, then we'll lock it in. Here in Washington, our state constitution is different in that you cannot have next door neighbors and their house is valued at the same, but you're going to tax the person who bought 30 years ago at that 30 year ago price. It's just simply not allowed in our Washington state constitution. And so maybe we just need to start spending less.
Okay,
maybe
that's the
solution.
But then does that mean you never get those? You know, we talked about the comments and how, you know, sometimes you look and see everything that's happened in South Lake Union and think, hey, wouldn't it have been nice if we had that gem of a park there?
Yeah, there are a few things. First of all, you could get the businesses that are going to prosper the most and say, hey, if you want this, you're going to have to cough it up. You know, like the aquarium. They do these fundraisers all the time. Mm-hmm. They're trying to build that big new
shark tank.
Yeah, the shark tank. And they're trying to raise tens of millions of dollars. You can't convince the Edgewater and, you know, ye old curiosity shop. They should be able to kick in a couple bucks.
Because of all the construction.
I know.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. So coming to this park, where are you going to park? Or where are you going to park your car if mm-hmm. you're coming from out of town into the park? And yeah. I just think there's a lot. I don't know how that would draw people in. I don't think if I'm going to go to a park, it's probably not going to be downtown.
But my point is that this is the camel's nose thing, where if they get this pushed through, they're going to do it to every neighborhood in the state. They're going to try to charge everybody for every single improvement they want to do. And it's a very dangerous path that we're on here. Next up in the Fastest 15, I know that you were an American Idol fan. Did you watch it from the very beginning?
I watched it more in the beginning.
I watched the very first season.
Uh-huh.
When there were, you may recall, two hosts.
Yeah.
Ryan Seacrest and Brian Dunkelman. And there's some dispute about Brian Dunkelman and whether he quit or he was let go.
Mm-hmm.
But I just saw a TV station caught up with Brian Dunkelman. So Ryan Seacrest, as you know, he's like trying to become the Dick Clark
of
the 21st
generation.
Century. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's a producer. Doesn't he do all the Kardashian shows?
He is one of the executive producers, yep.
Okay.
And then some spinoffs or some similar shows on that channel.
So Ryan Seacrest is worth an estimated $380 million. Brian Dunkelman, who was his co-host on the first season of American Idol, when nobody had heard of either one of these guys, has just announced that he's driving an Uber. Those are two pretty dramatically different life paths.
But I don't think you can compare them.
You can't.
Because the reason, I mean, he does say he quit, but they hadn't signed him. That's why he decided not to come back. He said, I decided before you did. So they might have fired him. But regardless, the reason Ryan made it was because he was better. And then he made it bigger because he was this multimedia genius. I mean, he really was.
And
he was a businessman genius.
Yeah, and he had something going before American Idol. I mean, Ryan Seacrest also has a radio show, so he'd already had something going on.
But all he had going before Idol he was a DJ in Atlanta.
Yeah, but he really was propelled by American Idol, for sure.
Right.
But that man works, I'm talking about Seacrest, works tirelessly.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently, he does not sleep.
Yeah,
like
no.
Someone else we know.
I admire people with, and I don't mean this negatively. He doesn't have any great discernible talent. other than
business.
He seems to outwork everybody. And I respect that.
Well, he also has.
I have no talent.
I don't know.
But I can outwork him.
He's actually pretty good. He's more watchable than most hosts of those shows. Obviously, as we saw on New Year's Eve, it's a tough job.
Well, it's not only that, though, but he also spots a winner. I mean, and he knows, I mean, for all the people who hate the Kardashians, he made that, I mean, they have become a household name for better or worse.
Well, here's what poor Brian Dunkelman is doing now, who's driving an Uber.
I don't dwell on what my life could be, because if I do, it's too much. It's too much.
And he says that when he was hosting, he hated how cruelly the producers of Idol would treat the young contestants.
Emotionally, it was really difficult for me. Probably more so for me and Paula, because we've been those kids, you know? We've been in that situation. We know how hard it is.
And I guess
Paula Abdul.
Yeah. And I guess Dunkelman, he tried to do stand-up comedy for a while.
Well, that's what he was before. That's all he was before.
Right,
was a stand-up comedian, and he had had a couple acting gigs.
Yeah. He says that, Seacrest is worth $380 million. He has $2,000 in his checking account, pays $1,500 in rent per month. His expenses total $1,600 every month. He says at first he and Seacrest got along.
I wish I could go back, and I wish we could have gotten along great. But there's a point where we just drifted apart, and then it was, you know, we were kind of antagonizing each other.
And he said that he kind of quit, but he maybe was about to get fired.
I almost wish I had been fired, because a few years later, it got so huge, then people were like, oh, well, this guy's an idiot.
So he says he's just moving on now.
About 5 years ago, I got married, and I decided that instead of chasing the life that I thought I could have had, I just decided to start enjoying the life that I do have.
He said he would wake up thinking about it, go to bed thinking about it, depressed from it for about 7 years.
Yeah.
And couldn't do anything else, and then got married and had a baby, and now he's all good.
Well, this is all coming out because he's getting a divorce.
Yeah.
And so all this is coming out because it's become contentious. And so, but I feel like it was almost like shaming to say, oh, well, now he drives an Uber and he could have been like Ryan Seacrest, which, you know what? They're two totally different people making two totally different choices.
Yeah.
You know,
I get where you see how two paths go down, but I think one person, like you said, works harder, has a different talent.
Yes.
This person, not the same.
I remember, I don't know if you were producing or if it was before your time, but I cannot remember the guy's name, but he was one of the founders of Apple with Steve Jobs, and Steve Jobs bought him out for like a couple $1,000, and then Jobs becomes a billionaire, and I had that guy on the show and talked about
that. Talking about Steve Wozniak?
No, because Wozniak's big. It was another guy.
Ronald Wayne.
Who?
Ronald Wayne.
That might be it. And I think they bought him out for just a few $1,000s. And that was a bad.
Well, didn't you miss out on your Microsoft opportunity?
Yes.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
Yes.
Just how things work out.
I know. Now look at me.
It's all meant to be.
And all that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Ursula's going to check the news. And then we might have a chance to fight back against the most criminally corrupt public agency in the nation's history. $30 car tabs. They're back. Talk to Iman about it next.
There's a long line of cars and they're trying to get through.
Well, finally, we might get a chance to fight back a little bit against the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States. I got in a big Twitter beef with some cowardly anonymous poser who's defending Sound Transit when I was on vacation, accusing me of saying something evil and horrible because I call them a criminal agency, to which I say, I'll repeat, Sound Transit, you think I can't back that up? You go ahead and sue me. And in the discovery process, you give me access to all of your records and all of your documents through discovery, and I will destroy you. So go ahead and sue me for calling you the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States, because we have a little thing in our legal system. It's called the truth is your defense. Okay, so a little way to fight back. Tim Iman has successfully gathered enough signatures to once again get $30 car tabs on the ballot. Tim Iman joins us here on Cairo Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, Dory. You've been just amazing over the last 8 months, really just pounding away on this thing, and I'm just really grateful you gave me so many opportunities for your listeners to be able to help out, and we just couldn't have made it without you guys.
Well, it's really nice of you to say. Okay, so this would be, how many times have the voters of this state voted for $30 car tabs?
They voted for it in 1999. A couple months later, the Democrat-controlled legislature and Gary Locke signed it into law a second time. Then the voters voted for it again on 2002, and then they stayed down for about 14 years, and only in the last 2 years did they shoot back up again. So this will be our third time where we're going to tell the politicians $30 means $30 when we register our vehicle.
Well, in the first one you mentioned, when Gary Locke and the Democrats, they saw how wildly popular it was, and even though the courts struck it down, they said, okay, we will impose $30 tabs through the legislative process. That was an amazingly different time when Democrats in our state actually seemed to care about the will of the people.
Well, and Gary Locke specifically said, we will not return to the days of high license tab fees. So that had an expiration date of about 16 years on that promise. Yeah. But we, the voters, have a chance with this initiative to take it back down to $30 for any car, truck, motorcycle, motorhome, anything you got that's got wheels, you'd be paying $30 and actually writing a check for $30. And you're right. The big impact is Sound Transit, ST3, they asked for $54 billion under a whole lot of lies. This initiative would shave back about 15% of that money and give it back to the taxpayers. We'll call it a penalty on Sound Transit for lying to people. I'd say that's a pretty fair judgment, fair penalty.
Well, and I see this, Tim, through the eyes of a dad, because, you know, my three daughters, they're in their 20s. They're in their first or second job after college. They have nothing extravagant for vehicles. And I look at what their car is worth with Kelley Blue Book. I look at what Sound Transit is assessing it at. In some cases, we're looking 50, 100% more than what is reality. And that's why I'm so comfortable calling them a criminally corrupt agency, because when you steal money from people, you're a criminal. And I don't think there's any question that Sound Transit is stealing money with these illegal, unfair car valuations.
Well, what's really amazing about it, too, is that, you know, politicians are bought off by Sound Transit. We get that. But what I'm really amazed by is so much of the media gets so much money from Sound Transit and advertising that I really think it covers a lot of their media coverage of this initiative. I've really been struck by how many stories are just written about how this is going to cripple Sound Transit. And that's not quoting the opponents of the initiative. This is the newspaper stating it as fact.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry, when you're simply saying 15% of the revenue they're collecting is dishonestly and inaccurately being imposed and we want to stop that, that's not going to cripple them. That's a haircut. That's a swift kick in the shins. But I'm struck by the fact that the media themselves seems to be in the back pocket of Sound Transit as well.
Well, and what I've been saying
with the exception of you.
Well, what I've been saying to everybody else in the media, and I do find it despicable, but you know, you go ahead and keep defending the criminals, and I'll keep defending the taxpayers. And maybe that's one reason why the legacy media is struggling so desperately right now, and, you know, not to blow my own horn, but why my show is doing better than ever, because I think people recognize that defending the taxpayers is a winning strategy, and very few people in the media seem to want to embrace that as part of their core mission.
Well, and I think you really are like that little kid that said the emperor has no clothes. I mean, it is just so obvious that it is completely dishonest and inaccurate to say a $10,000 vehicle is worth $25,000 for the purposes of taxation. I mean, that is just a royal ripoff. The voters recognize it. We're just incredibly thrilled that we got more than enough signatures to guarantee the initiative qualifies for the ballot. And so now the voters in November of 2019, the same ones who are getting ripped off by Sound Transit, ripped off by the state, ripped by skyrocketing property taxes, high gas taxes, tolls, everybody who's furious with the government finally has a chance to strike back in a real significant way by passing Initiative 976 and getting those $30 car caps back for everybody.
Well, and great job on your relentlessness in getting this done, because I know it came down to the wire. I mean, when we talked a few weeks ago, right before I went on my Christmas vacation, it was a little touch and go if you were going to qualify.
Well, I think it's called the bankruptcy boost. I think there's something about going bankrupt really inspired a lot of people.
I'll give that a try sometime.
Interesting timing.
Yeah.
literally interesting. 4 weeks ago, I had to declare bankruptcy because of the AG's lawsuit against me. And then there was this huge surge in signatures for the initiative. A lot of people were really angry and pissed off and saw that the AG was trying to interfere and trying to block the people from having a chance to vote on this initiative. And they took it personally. And I think there was a bankruptcy boost in our signature drive toward the end. But honestly, I think it's just the issue itself that carried the day. And fortunately, people like yourself really, you know, took up the mantle of helping us give listeners a chance to go to our website and be able to help and be able to contribute. And just, I'm just so grateful to everybody for helping make this thing a reality. And for the next 9 months, all we're going to hear about is how bad a person Tim Iman is. And I think that's pretty much their campaign that's going to be against this initiative, because they can't defend these dishonest car tab taxes. I don't think they're even going to try. They're just going to attack me the whole time.
Well, they're going to try with this, and they're going to say that Sound Transit's taxing district is King, Pierce, and Snohomish counties. Pierce County said no. They got dragged kicking and screaming into the scam. But they're going to say, why should people in Colfax and Sela, why should they weigh in on what is essentially a Puget Sound issue?
Well, I think it's really important for everyone to realize, I think letting everybody vote is better than having a government choose who gets to vote. Everyone in the state has a vested interest in making sure there's good government in the state. You can't have dishonest, inaccurate taxation going on anywhere in the state, or it's going to metastasize and spread to other parts of the state. But the reality is this initiative is going to pass by the widest margin we've ever done, and it's going to be carried because of Pierce County, Snohomish County, King County. I think we're going to get the highest level of support for any of our initiatives from Seattle taxpayers, because they've got sticker shock over their car tabs and property taxes. I mean, this is an amazing initiative that's going to help everybody, and it's at a time where the state is sitting on a $3.2 billion tax surplus, more than enough money to be able to make whole any government program affected by the passage of our initiative.
Okay, and so if your prediction comes true and this passes by the biggest margin ever, what is the practical effect on Sound Transit?
It's a 15% of their revenue. So instead of $54 billion, they'd have a paltry $45 billion. So they'll have three times more money than what they asked the legislature for the authority to raise. They originally went to the legislature and said, give us the authority to ask for $15 billion. They lied to them, turned around, and asked for $54 billion. When our initiative passes, it ends up leaving Sound Transit with only three times as much money as they asked the legislature for originally.
Well, anything that puts a dent in the most criminally corrupt public agency in our nation's history is a good thing. I appreciate your relentlessness on this, Tim. Nice job getting it qualified. Hey. So, you know, I'll do whatever I can to help get this thing passed when it's on the ballot.
Well, I'm so grateful. And it's 30tabs.com. That's 30tabs.com. And again, I just want to say how grateful I am to Cairo listeners. I mean, they really made the difference. And Dory, you've just been the chief critic of Sound Transit. And here's a chance to be able to let the unwashed masses get another crack at this agency with a public vote.
There we go. All right. Well done, Tim. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you so much, Dory.
Initiative guru, Tim Eyman. So you're going to get a chance to vote on $30 tabs, save your family hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and that's a good thing in these tax-mad times that we face around here. And we got lots. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text us. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
There's no central destination, but this long line of cars is trying to get through.
It is one of the most difficult issues to discuss on the radio or just with friends, with family. The issue being abortion, because everyone is so firmly set in their ways. But I will tell you, Ben Shapiro, who does a show, he's nationally syndicated, but Ben Shapiro, he does a show on our sister station, 770 KTTH, in the evenings. And he was speaking at Cal Berkeley, the bastion of liberalism. And a lot of these colleges and universities, they just refuse to let conservatives speak because they don't want to hear anything they have to say. But they invited Ben Shapiro. This exchange is wonderful because somebody wanted to challenge him on abortion. He's against abortion. And the way his argument was so irrefutable for the student who was challenging him, this is the perfect way to intellectually handle a debate on a delicate subject like this.
And I just wanted to know, why exactly do you think a first trimester fetus has moral value?
Okay, so a first trimester fetus has moral value because whether you consider it a potential human life or a full-on human life, it has more value than just a cluster of cells. If left to its natural processes, it will grow into a baby. So the real question is, where do you draw the line? So you can draw the line at the heartbeat, because it's very hard to draw the line at the heartbeat. There are people who are adults who are alive because of a pacemaker. They need some sort of outside force generating their heartbeat. Okay, are you going to do it based on brain function? Okay, well, what about people who are in a coma? Should we just kill them? Right. The problem is, anytime you draw any line other than the inception of the child, you end up drawing a false line that can also be applied to people who are adults. So either human life has intrinsic value or it doesn't. I think we both agree that adult human life has intrinsic value. Can we start from that premise?
I believe that sentience is what gives something moral value, not necessarily being a human alone.
Okay, when you're asleep, can I stab you?
I'm still considered sentient when I'm asleep.
Okay, if you are in a coma from which you may awake, can I stab you?
Well, then, no.
I'm glad you answered that, because I have no interest in actually murdering
you. But that's still potential sentience, and it's still a potential...
I agree, it is potential sentience. You know what else is potential sentience? Being a fetus.
The issue I have with that, though, is that if I'm in a coma and I'm not, doing anything to anyone, I'm not causing any issues amongst the world, whereas an unwanted child may or may not be a burden to people.
Okay, but there are lots of people who are unwanted, right? I mean, there are lots of people's parents who are unwanted, right? We're a bunch of college students. the problem is that now you're shifting the argument, right? Before you were making the argument based on the intrinsic value of a life based on sentience, and now you're talking about the level of burden that somebody presents as a separate moral argument, okay? I don't believe that you being a burden on somebody is justification for them killing you, as a general rule.
Whew, that's how you take down somebody in an argument. Big Lead at 2 is next.